Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Anyway, so now talking about the drone strikes on Moscow the other day. It was Navy Day in Russia, and the drone strikes took place. So the timing is perhaps significant, because remember, Putin was playing host to the presidents of four African countries, and how embarrassing that morning to wake up to the news that the drones had hit Moscow. And also gives lie to one of Putin's justifications for his illegal war of unprovoked aggression against Ukraine, that is about making Russia safer. Well, it's actually imperiling it. Until this war began, drones had never ever struck Moscow. And it's true, in recent decades, bombs had gone off in Moscow, but drones had not. Now, the reports of anywhere between 3 drones and 8 drones fired, launched, perhaps I should say, and Russia claims to have brought them all down, which is probably true, either shooting them down or by electronic warfare, jamming their navigation systems. So these are Ukrainian-manufactured drones, which tend to be rudimentary, but they do have range. Remember that Moscow is over 300 miles from the Ukrainian border, although there's claims that there's some Ukrainians are already inside Russia and launching them from there, not so far away, or even Russians who are hostile to the Putin regime and want to bring it down and launch them. I don't know what the truth of that matter is. But 3 buildings were slightly damaged. No casualties reported. Again, that could be a lie. Maybe someone was injured or killed. I don't know. But the 3 buildings being slightly damaged have been identified. Now, one of those in Moscow City, which is the financial district. What was the target? Was that possibly? Because that will spook the markets. I mean, already the Russian stock market is down. And they did it on a Sunday, so they weren't going to be killing or injuring people at work, because that might have made them more reluctant to hit that in the working week, because you might accidentally kill a foreign banker, stockbroker, or whatever. But people work from home quite a bit anyway. So the impact of this is psychological rather than physical. A city of 14 million people to slightly damage three buildings is just below negligible. But the Ukrainians are getting more audacious about this. And President Zelensky said, yeah, you know, we're taking the war to Russian soil. Remember, the 3rd of May was the very first Ukrainian drone strike on Moscow. And Zelensky explicitly disowned that one, said, not us. Now, probably was them, but he might have feared the retribution, because it was seen as an assassination attempt on President Putin. Now, he's the commander-in-chief of the Russian armed forces in time of war, so he's an entirely legitimate target. He goes around in a military uniform some of the time. So if the privates can be killed, why can't the commander-in-chief? You know, commanders-in-chief have been killed in wartime before. Now, I don't want anyone to be killed, and that would even include Putin. I would like the war to end today, and nobody would be killed on either side. So I'm not quite sure what the target was, possibly something in the financial district. There might have been military bases they were trying to hit. So there have been over 120 suspected Ukrainian drone attacks in Russia and in Russian-occupied Ukraine this year. But the Ukrainians are really trying to bring home to Russians that this is not a cost-free option, continuing this war of illegal occupation. Because remember, according to the Putin regime, this is not a war, it's a special military operation. Life continues as normal. Go about your business, go to work, go to the cinema, go to the supermarket, play sports. Well, it's not. Now, Vnukovo Airport, one of Moscow's 4 airports, was closed for an hour. There are no takeoffs, no landings, because a drone was loitering in the area. And obviously, you can really spook civilian airports by doing that without killing a single person, without damaging a single plane or a single business. And obviously, Aeroflot's had a difficult time, has lost about half its routes because they can't fly to European Union countries, NATO countries except Turkey, sanctioning countries like South Korea, Australia, Japan. And they can't fly over their airspace. Now, it's true that Western airlines can't fly over Russia or Belarus and have to fly a long way around, which costs more, uses more fuel, takes longer. It was amazing none of the minor Russian airlines had gone bust. Well, the thing is, Turkish Airlines still flies to Russia. Airlines are based in India and China and so on. They still fly to Russia. But they might be soon calculating it's not worth it. It's too risky. Otherwise, or sometimes takeoffs and landings are delayed. It messes up the schedule. So some of them might stop doing it. If somebody gets killed, if a plane crashes, the reputational damage is terrible. Remember, you know, even a cheap passenger plane is about $100 million new. So these are the drone attacks. The Russians do tend to play them down. On the other hand, it does help Russia somewhat, in as much as they say, oh, look, we're under attack. We have to fight self-defensively. So Putin could exploit it that way. They could have simply not talked about these things at all, not even mentioned them. But then the trouble is then the rumour mill might get going and they might seem to be even worse than they really are. Now, the obvious thing would have been to launch a drone attack on St. Petersburg, where Navy Day was taking place a naval review. But that's just out of range. That's too far. Obviously, Putin was up there because it's on the Gulf of Finland and Moscow is not on the coast, just in case you're not too hot on geography. So it seems, feels like quite a diplomatic coup for him to get the heads of state of four countries, even pariah countries, to attend, but not really an impressive turnout. Even President Lukashenko of Belarus and a supplicant of Putin didn't show. Now they don't really want to be associated with Russian militarism. But Putin has said that he is amenable to talks because the African Union has made serious propositions. The Chinese have made noises about being peace brokers, but they're clearly not an honest broker. They're the treasurer of Russia, not yet the armorer, really. But Putin is saying this partly not to be discourteous to his guests, saying these would be terribly difficult to implement. But much hangs on whether this Ukrainian counteroffensive is crowned with victory or not. If by the end of November they reach the Sea of Azov, Russia's strategic position will be greatly enfeebled. That won't guarantee they will go to the negotiating table. Even if they do open negotiations, they may not reach an agreement. But if the Ukrainian offensive fails, then Russia say, well, time is on our side, and so on. Russia thinks they'll win because Western will flag and the Ukrainian morale will plummet, and so on. But the two sides are just so far apart, it's almost a non-starter. The Ukrainians saying, we will only talk once you've already withdrawn unequivocally, unconditionally from the five illegally occupied regions. And Russia says, well, we'll never ever do that. They're integral parts of Russia. Our constitution explicitly prohibits us from ceding a single millimeter of Russian sovereign soil. And that would include Crimea. And Ukraine said, we want these five regions back. And that includes Crimea, the one the Russians are keenest on retaining. So the retention of Crimea is going to be the real sticking point. The other ones, maybe Putin could fudge it, have some liminality about them, have them as United Nations trust territories, UN troops there, demilitarizing something. But nuh-uh, that is the holy of holy for him, holy of holies for him is Crimea. The drone attacks in Crimea, and Russia claimed that there were 25 Ukrainian drones fired at Crimea. Now, that seems a rather high number to have had a minimal impact. So I'm not sure if that's true or not. They were all brought down. So remember, Western countries are supplying military technology, but they're saying to the Ukrainians, you cannot use Western-provided arms in the Russian Federation. You can use it in Ukraine to drive out the Russians, but you mustn't use these weapons across the border in Russia itself. Remember, legally, Crimea is part of Ukraine, or the Russia says it's not. And so the Western-made drones, the better ones usually, can be used in Crimea, making Russia's situation there less tenable. That's it. They've inflicted minimal damage on the Russian through their drone attacks in Moscow itself. But one day they're going to get lucky. The response from Russia was furious. They hit President Zelensky's hometown. They killed several civilians today. There's inflation in Russia. It's getting fairly bad. Funding the war is getting a bit more difficult, but you know, there's no sign that Russia is going to break. The very fact he said he was wouldn't rule out negotiations suggests the situation is somewhat weaker than it was beforehand. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. I urgently need donations to keep this channel going. Goodbye.